This is 5-on-3. Center ice for all things Islanders, Rangers, and all news across the NHL on WFUV Sports.
You know, it's always going to bother me. Always going to bother me that there's no Devils involved in that intro.
Yeah, you don't need it.
But either way, welcome to 5-on-3. WFUV Sports Best If Only Hockey Podcast. I'm Tucker Austin, joined by Grace McCarron, Emma Leonardi. Kurt Sippel is locking it down for us behind the glass. Thank you, Kurt. Today's Friday, December 12th. It's 4:15 p.m. as of the recording of this podcast. And boy, is there a lot going on in the world of hockey right now. We're going to get into some of the teams leading the conferences right now because, honestly, at the top of the West and at the top of the East, it's pretty tight. The East is tight throughout. We're also going to talk about some transactions that went on in the NHL over the past week. Couple of injuries, couple of trades. We'll get into our check-in with the metro area teams, Rangers, Islanders, Devils, as usual. But before we get into our first topic of conversation today, I want to start. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing good. Went to UBS last night in the stands, saw a good little Islanders win over Anaheim. It was good to see Anaheim because they're a fun team, but Islanders made them look like a pretty bad team last night, putting up a 5 spot.
It was a great first period.
Great first period. I was so excited. Anders Lee, that is my captain. I'd trust him with my life at this point. Feeling good about that. And then they get Tampa tomorrow.
Yeah. It was a pair of goals for Lee, too, last night, right?
A pair of goals and 2 assists, so 4 points.
Woo!
Pretty nice.
It's a good night for the man with the C.
He's now 5th all-time in Islanders goals. He passed Brock Nelson, which made me really sad.
There you go.
Yeah.
It was also a first NHL goal last night.
Yeah, Travis Mitchell.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So you were there as a fan.
I was.
Emma, you were there covering the game for us.
Yes.
For WFUV.
Yes.
How about that?
Yes.
Stick taps.
This was probably the best day of my life. I literally texted Joe after, and I was like, this was the best day of my life. I actually, it was just, random coincidence that I could, fill in, and I just was kind of, volunteered, and I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Definitely. I'm definitely not letting this chance just fly by me. That's crazy.
No, that's what you got to do. You got to grab at those opportunities when they present themselves.
So, my first time beat reporting for any team, for any sport, and it was a blast. That first period was insane. I think has to be, best first period that you could ask for as a beat reporter.
Probably in carpal tunnel a little bit, typing all the tweets.
So this was actually, it is relevant, but it's also so minor. I know that I'm not mandated to do this, but I decided about 1 minute into the first period that I was going to record every goal that was scored.
Oh, that's fire.
On video.
How did you manage that? Because
yeah,
you don't really know when they're going to score.
Coming.
You kind of have to be recording the whole time.
I recorded the entire game on my phone. The entire game. So, and then when they had either stoppages, just for whatever, I would quickly go and tweet and I'd be cutting the videos and I'm oh my God, I was on the entire time. But it ended up being really great because I caught Mitchell's first goal, first career goal of the NHL, which we'll get into later. I caught the Anders Lee goals and was able to tweet those. So, but it was very stressful. That first period was very stressful for me. So,
but
very awesome.
You went above and beyond though. That's if I tried to do that with my phone after all of the all the content I have on it now from covering the Devils, my phone would probably explode.
Yeah.
It'd probably melt through the table after all of that just being on the camera roll at the same time.
I just got a new phone and I upgraded
my
storage.
There you go. So if you have the power to do it, go crazy. Because I imagine those videos probably got a lot better interactions on Twitter.
See, they did and they didn't.
Yeah. Give and take. How did the Mitchell first goal go?
Oh my God.
Did it blow up a little bit?
Not blow up, but there were a lot of there were a lot of people who saw each of my
if
tweets.
If you had over 1,000 impressions, I would call that a minor blow
up. You mean
up.
Impressions, not just likes or comments?
Yes.
One about, which we'll also get into this later, Horvat's had when I checked it literally 5 minutes after I posted it, it had 1.5K.
Exactly. See, so that's huge because usually when I do Devils, I'll get the most I'll get on a regular run of the mill tweet about maybe a goal or something will be somewhere in the realm of 300-400 impressions. But that is huge. That's some of the numbers I was getting when I covered the Heisman last year. Mm. So
yeah,
that's a great job. And that's what getting all that video does for you. But, either way, glad to hear everything's going well so far. Things going well for me as well. I don't have that many in-person finals, a lot of projects.
Me too.
And like kind of asynchronous stuff. But other than that, I've just been kind of busy with men's and women's basketball so mm-hmm. far. Although that is also on a bit of a break right now for finals. So that's been nice. But yeah, let's jump right into it. First order of business for us today, we got to talk about the Olympic ice. We have a serious problem. And I think it's much more serious than I think we understand right now. Because it's also become more serious since what we thought a week ago.
Yeah.
And so for me, that means that like it is way worse than the Olympic Committee actually wants to tell us. Apparently, the NHL did not know that the ice was going to be too small, smaller mm-hmm. than Olympic ice, and that there were serious delays in getting the arena actually finished until last week.
It's so bad. We've known. How? Don't they announce the cities for the Olympics like 5 years in advance? You had 5 years. Think of where you were in your life 5 years ago. A lot has happened.
And they've had that much time to like be developing this literally, arena, but it's still just not even close enough.
It's not done.
It's reportedly like the rink is supposed to be finished 3 days before the first actual game is played. I believe it's a women's hockey game, mm-hmm. but regardless. 3 days before the first game, this arena is supposed to be quote unquote ready, and that's not even counting like the quality of the ice,
right?
Because like it's supposed to have like a roof, and all the seats are yeah. supposed to be done by 3 days before. All of like the extra maintenance of keeping the ice the way it's supposed
exactly.
to be. Who knows? That's yeah. like completely up in the air right now, and this could have serious impacts on roster construction, yeah. which is not something that I considered before. But like, I mean, they were preparing to go on Olympic ice, which is larger by regulation than NHL ice. So they were going for probably more speed, mm-hmm. guys who can you make use of a lot of space because it's a larger rink, but now it's basically the complete opposite, where we're going to get something closer to like a Four Nations, where you need a goalie who can move the puck around behind the net when necessary, mm-hmm. and it's going to be a lot of chipping.
Like
a lot of chipping down the ice.
I just don't understand how we let this happen. Like, Four Nations was a bit of an experiment because it was the first of its kind, and it was a great success, and it was awesome. The Olympics has been going on for a long time, longer than any of us have been around.
And there hasn't been best on best in over a decade.
Exactly.
So they're preparing for a huge
right.
hockey Olympics.
I'm like, I feel like we knew a long time ago that this happened. Like, we knew what the regulations were. This might go on to affect Milan for the Winter Olympics in the future, maybe.
According
to
Olympics.com, it was awarded in, oh, sorry, not Olympics.com, but another very reliable source said that the location was officially announced on June 24th, 2019.
So that's
oh
6 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
That's yeah. almost over 6 years.
We're
like
talking pre-COVID here.
Years ago.
Yeah.
So much has happened yep. since yep. they knew that they were getting this Olympics. And yet,
yeah,
we still have a roofless arena.
Kurt just said over the IFB that they might. Is that confirmed, Kurt, that they might do it in Lake Placid if it's not ready? Right. Dude.
Oh, that's not real. That's like.
That's crazy.
That's bad. That's like you
that's
know.
That's a terrible
you know
look for Milan.
The Olympics. You know the 28 Olympics in LA.
Yeah.
How like softball and I think one other sport is just going to be in like Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's what this is, except like, way worse because like you have
right.
the entire rest of the Olympics going on in like a wildly different time zone.
Yeah.
In Italy, and then you just bring hockey back to the United States for no reason.
I think the separating the places only makes sense in scenarios like last summer's Olympics, where obviously everything was in Paris, but then they had surfing in Tahiti.
Yeah, well, I mean,
which that is like okay,
that's understandable.
That makes
where
sense,
are you supposed
and
to
that
surf
is,
in Paris?
That's like, you got to do that unless you want to create artificial surfing conditions, which I don't think you should. But like,
no.
This makes no sense. They've had 6 years. Like, what are we doing?
And like the NHL has already said that their position on this is that they leave it with the players, which I think is the best possible decision they could make. Like,
yeah.
if the players feel that there are enough safety concerns that they don't want to risk the rest of their NHL season on this event, that the NHL players will pull out, which would completely ruin our best on best.
Yeah.
We'd still get Olympic hockey, but just nothing close to what we got in the Four Nations. So I think a lot of fans are going to be really underwhelmed
mm-hmm.
by that Olympics without NHL players.
Yeah.
However, there's also like, there's also the idea that a lot of these stars in the NHL have not had the opportunity. Like, it's been more than 10 years since NHL players were able to play in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stars right now who are in their primes that never got to play Olympic hockey for their country that want to go. Like, there's a fervor that exists that these players want to play in the Olympics.
Yeah.
So it could be an issue of, like, maybe the ice isn't 100% ready.
Right.
Or there are a few safety concerns, but it might kind of be outweighed by the players just wanting to play in the Olympics that bad.
Yeah.
Which...
And then you put them at risk.
Yeah, no, but at that point they'd be putting themselves at risk, though. At least, like, the NHL has kind of washed their hands of it and been like, if the players want to play, they'll play. If not, they won't. But either way, it's not our fault if somebody gets injured.
Right.
Yeah. Very annoying.
Not great. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully next week we'll have some kind of a bigger update on this, or in the weeks to come, because
we're getting down to the wire here. Yeah.
But I guess, you know, they gave us their deadline is 3 days before the event starts. So yeah. I guess mostly we'll be waiting until then. But it'll be interesting to see if any of the NHL players start to talk about it, or if the media starts asking them questions the closer we get. But moving to the next piece of news out of the NHL. There's been a couple of moves, most notably a trade just today, on December 12th. The Edmonton Oilers finally made a move in terms of goaltending. They made a trade with the Pittsburgh Penguins today. It involved a bunch of assets. I believe there was a draft pick involved in there as well. But the main portion of the trade is that Tristan Jarry is no longer a Penguin. He is now an Oiler.
Mm-hmm.
And Stuart Skinner, the beloved Oilers goaltender, is now a Pittsburgh Penguin.
Yeah.
And me personally, I think it's really sad to see the Skinner Edmonton saga come to an end, just because it was very, very funny to watch that whole thing unfold every postseason for all non-Oiler fans. Clearly, Oilers fans were just racked by Skinner's nonsense in the playoffs and, like, randomly playing just awful.
Yeah. He literally would either be Patrick Waugh or he would be, like, me in net.
Yeah.
Like, that was the difference. And, you know, the Oilers make me mad because they're so good. They should have won the cup by now with Connor McDavid. They still haven't.
They're so lucky he didn't just take his sticks and go somewhere else.
They're so lucky he's still there. They should, right. They have no idea how lucky they are. And, you know, they refused until now to make a move for a better goalie. And, I hope they win. I kind of hope they win the cup now. Like, we got to have it. It's like Mike Trout in baseball. I'm like, this guy's got to get one sometime, and I don't know.
The problem is, it's very funny because I've also seen, like, across ESPN reading a couple of headlines and a couple stories. I saw one headline that said, like, Tristan Jarry is not the answer for Edmonton in goal. And it's like, dude, it's the first goaltending move that they've honestly made in probably 2 years in the time that they've been running to the cup. And, like, I kind of agree. I don't know if Jari's really, like, the answer. It's kind of, like, him and Skinner seem relatively neck and neck.
Yeah.
Just with the consistency, I would say, for Jarry, he holds that over Skinner. At least, I think for Edmonton, it's more of a fatigue thing. Like, they had just been they've been dealing with Skinner for so long and dealing with his postseason meltdowns for so long that they were just like, okay.
Yeah.
Anybody else could be our goalie and might just do, like, a bit better in terms of the consistency than Skinner.
Yeah.
But yeah, there will be no more of that in the playoffs, unfortunately, for everyone who's not an Oilers fan. I wonder, like, it makes you wonder now, like, do the Oilers win one of those two Stanley Cups against the Panthers?
That's what I've always thought. Like,
Maybe. Probably. I mean, they blew the lead with Skinner and Ned. It's just bad all around. But outside of that trade, there are a couple of other things that went on. I sent you guys that link earlier for the NHL, the NHL status report that came out today at around 1 o'clock. Logan Cooley out minimum of 8 weeks with a lower body injury. Easily the powerhouse of the Utah Mammoth offense. So really sucks for Utah to see Cooley go down, especially for an extended period, because they're one of those teams that's looking to make sort of the next jump.
Yeah.
They got a lot of young talent that's starting to materialize. Cooley was one of them, but now he's going to be out for around probably 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Kraken lose Jared McCann. Pittsburgh is getting Rickard Rakell back pretty soon, which is very interesting. He's due to return to the lineup tomorrow against the San Jose Sharks. Jonathan Drouin also on his way back for the Islanders. He's going to be back tomorrow against the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is pretty big. But we already mentioned Bo Horvat down with an injury last night. We'll get into the Islanders a little bit more. Jonas Brodin is questionable against the Senators tomorrow for the Wild. The Wild, another team kind of like Utah, where they're very young and looking to make another step up.
Yeah.
Maybe in a slightly better position than Utah, but I still think they're very similar. Charlie Lindgren is back in practice for the Capitals. But they're another one of those teams that's having like multiple issues. So Lindgren hasn't played since December 3rd with an upper body, but he's looking he's going to travel with the Caps for their road trip starting this Saturday. So could see him in the near future. But also Ryan Leonard is going to be spending some time out 3 to 4 weeks with a shoulder injury after a hit from none other. We know him very well here on 5-on-3. A known perpetrator of terrorism in the NHL. His name is Jacob Trouba, and he has another victim. It's Ryan Leonard. Em, I know you had some strong feelings about that, so I want to let you go with that right now before I ask you guys about this whole thing.
Yes, I have such strong feelings. For those who don't know, I don't know how you can't know, I'm a Caps fan. And so, December 5th, I'm, you know, laying in my bed, and I'm watching the Caps game. I'm having a grand old time. And I see on my screen a crazy hit. I didn't even know which player was hit. I didn't know who hit him at first. I was like, what is going on?
And it tends to be the case. Trouba's a whirlwind like
all
that.
All of a sudden, I see Ryan Leonard, like, skate off, basically motionless, with blood dripping from his nostrils. I was like, what just happened? They do the replay. It literally looks, even though it was his shoulder that got injured, which we now know, because at first we didn't know, it looks like he literally snapped his neck. It looked like Trouba literally snapped Leonard's neck. And I was like, oh my God, how is he not dead, basically? Like, that's insane. He looks so shooken up. Like, it was just so bad. So immediately after, my little man, Jacob Chychrun, goes over.
Oh, tell me you got a piece of Trouba.
And starts defending Leonard.
Okay.
However, this is where it gets absolutely infuriatingly insane. Trouba receives no penalty at all. Chychrun gets a 2-minute minor for
roughing. He got roughing, didn't he? Hate to see it.
And now Leonard, beloved Leonard, is out for, what was it, 1 to 3 weeks?
3 to 4.
Yeah. Oh, 1 to 3 was
horrible. He's be out a month.
3 to 4 is insane. Also, I'm going to so many games over the break, and I was looking forward to seeing
him. No Leonard for you.
Literally, I'm going to,
his
like,
injury is the length of break,
I'm going. I'm going, you know what's funny? I'm going to 3 or 4 games over break, and he's out for 3 or 4 weeks. And he's out for the length of time that I'm gone, and I'm just so heartbroken. And just, like, angry also that, like, Chychrun got a penalty for that.
Yeah, this is what it feels like to be a Devils fan, but, like, all the time.
Guys, if we're going to talk, not to make this about me, if we're going to talk about terrorism, Mikko Rantanen absolutely demolished my Alexander Romanov a couple weeks ago, and I didn't get enough chances to complain about it.
All right.
And then he did it, I can't remember who it was against, but yeah, I guess this is basically Emma's Mikko Rantanen.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wasn't happy about Brendan Dillon getting jumped on his 1,000th game either, which was really annoying. I actually, I got to pull that up because I don't remember who it was exactly who was doing it, but I remember it was a large Russian individual.
That could be a lot of people.
Who began taking swings at Dillon while he was literally not facing him.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy drops the gloves and goes after Dillon. while Dylan was turned around in front of the net. I got to try and find this game.
All right. Mikko Rantanen, a few days after Romanov, suspended for a game for his hit on Matt Coronato of the Calgary Flames. So, yeah, it's a lot of terrorism in this league.
It was this Columbus game.
Not my America.
And I think it was Provorov, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, sorry. It was Dmitry Voronkov.
Okay.
So another large Russian individual. But yeah, it was Voronkov who got into the fight with Brendan Dillon. But that was a long time ago. That was during WrestleMania on December 1st between the Blue Jackets and the Devils. 64 minutes of penalties, I think, in the second period alone.
Yeah.
Like, at least five fights in the game. It was ridiculous. Dillon's fight was one of them. But yeah, I didn't get a chance to complain about that either. So
yeah,
there that
Let's
goes.
Just air our grievances.
Air our grievances.
That's what the holidays are about, yeah. Ladies and gents.
Yeah. The airing of grievances.
Yeah. I will say I have like one team. I had one team. Had is important here. Mm. I had one team in the NHL that I hated, and it's the Canes. I feel
that's on everybody's list.
Yeah, I feel like that's justified.
Except for Canes fans, and we know who you are.
Yeah. And I, like, honestly didn't really have a problem with any other team, like, as a whole, until this. I have an issue with Anaheim now.
Oh,
I have
a
personal
issue
with Anaheim, which made yesterday beautiful for me as well, because, like, watching them get absolutely crushed by the Islanders was just beautiful.
Yeah, I have a personal issue with Jacob Trouba, and he is on the Ducks, so I get it. But, I don't know. Anaheim is like a weirdly
so
young
fun.
Team to have a problem with.
No, I have a problem
so
with them
you know,
now.
But
I
yeah,
have a
you know what?
Now.
Go for it.
That like
the Ducks need more haters.
It. That cemented it. So
they don't have enough haters. And, like, ever since Zegras left, all of the haters left with them.
I was gonna say like there's if, like I'm like why would I you know
if,
like they're just there
if
and they're fun.
Like if Trouba had also gotten the penalty, I think that my issue would just be with Trouba. But because of the extent of the insanity that happened,
because the NHL sided with the Ducks.
Yeah, so it has to. It has to be a full team.
They
affair.
Sided.
Like, it has to be a full team.
Guys,
affair.
I'm gonna start making my jokes now. They sided with the libs.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Right. Ryan Leonard, known Republican.
So I
Never
didn't
in my
really
life,
like.
I think I'd be heartbroken over something like
I
this.
I really,
yeah.
unfortunately, did enjoy the Jacob Trouba versus the Conservatives jokes that were made on the internet. And I read quite a few of them to Emma because, you know, we're roommates and
NHL
I like to read
media
her tweets.
Stays undefeated.
It was very funny. Should he have done that to Ryan Leonard? Probably not. Was it funny to me? A little bit.
Watching it back, it's not even that. It's not that bad of a hit. Like for Jacob Trouba, for his
He's
like for
worse.
His rap sheet, he has done way worse.
Yeah,
I'm talking
true.
Both skates
a,
off the ice.
Tuesday.
But that's like
both skates off
like,
the ice against Jonas Siegenthaler
you
last
have to
year.
Understand,
like we have a problem.
To Caps fans, Leonard is like the baby of the team. Mm. Like that's our child. Like and that's why Chychrun went and like defended him so
I'm
much.
I'm surprised
like,
that
is the kid.
Actually, it's really cowardly of Trouba to not drop the gloves and fight Chychrun. I bet that's why he got the roughing is because Chychrun tried to fight him and then Trouba was just like,
no.
No. Yeah, either way, that's
Which,
that's tough
like,
for Ryan Leonard.
Thankfully
tough for the Caps.
It wasn't, honestly, thankfully it wasn't Chychrun because if I wasn't going to see Chychrun over break, that might
no,
be
no, especially
final
the way, especially the way Chychrun's playing so far. He's tied for 7th in the league in points as a defenseman, so he's been having a great year. He's on my fantasy team in the league that I'm in because he's just a beast like that.
He's beautiful.
But either way, that's the Caps. Victor Hedman is going to the injured reserve, or is already on the injured reserve because of an undisclosed injury. Shout out the Lightning for
always good.
Not disclosing that. Really love it. But they're out of captain now. And that's after they beat the New Jersey Devils 8-4 last night. But now Victor Hedman they're going to be without Hedman for a little while. Mm-hmm. We won't know until they actually disclose the injury how long he's going to be out. Matt Rempe close to a return from an upper body injury for the Rangers. For me, that's relatively inconsequential because Matt Rempe is just kind of a big guy on skates.
Yeah. He looks like a giraffe when he's skating. I'm not going to lie to you. It's really funny.
Devils have a plethora of injuries still that we will get into when we talk about the Devils. But Gritsyuk is a new one. He's going to be out for this weekend, missing the next two games with an upper body injury that he suffered against the Ducks last night. Or, sorry, not against the Ducks. He suffered against the Lightning last night. He won't be available for the Ducks game this weekend. Timo Meyer's also not going to be available. He's dealing with a family matter, so he's away from the team as well. So that's two more forwards out of the lineup for the Devils when they're already out a couple of forwards and a couple of defensemen.
It's about that time.
The Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, are getting Connor Hellebuyck back probably this week. He was back on the ice on Wednesday. He was scheduled to miss 4-6, but he has been out since November 22nd with a knee injury, so it seems like he's on a bit of a quicker trajectory than they originally thought. That would be huge for the Jets, and that's kind of what brought me to my question that I asked you guys about this. Like, what out of this list has the most impact on the team that it's for? For me, it might be Hellebuyck coming back for the Jets, just because that's a Vezina caliber goaltender. He won the league MVP last year. Like, he is a huge part of why the Winnipeg Jets are a good hockey team. And for me, that's the biggest thing on this list. But what do you guys think?
I would agree with that.
Personally, I have to not agree with that. But professionally, I have to agree with that. Because professionally,
it would be Lindgren and Ryan Leonard.
Oh, personally, yeah, it's Leonard. Lindgren, he's looking better. I feel okay about that.
Really? But Leonard being out is the big impact there.
I think just because of the situation, I just really got upset about that. but that is something that could upset a team.
In a locker room, especially if he's the sort of child on the team.
The child. Yeah. He's also is always on when he's playing. Sorry, I'm going to go off about Ryan Leonard again, but he is always on when he plays. It is beautiful because, like, it's beautiful to watch him play, not because, like, he necessarily plays beautifully, but he does. But because you can see through his movements how much he cares about the game and how much he wants this and how much he wants to win. And that's just beautiful. And, like, I can't. It really makes me upset.
Yeah. So. For me, I think, I said Hellebuyck is probably the biggest one off this list, but it's probably, it's pretty close or a tie between the Jets getting Hellebuyck back and the Mammoth losing Logan Cooley.
It's the next biggest
impact is losing a guy like Cooley. I mean, he's basically the whole team.
Yeah.
Leads the team in goals of 14, tied for fourth in points, 23 in 29 games. He's just a really good hockey player.
Yeah.
And so, it's almost like a Jack Hughes loss for Utah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how you got to put it in perspective. You have to, look at it from, your team's perspective of, who relates, I think, and then it, really does make that emotional impact, I think. So I think I would actually agree with you on that one.
But that's most of the moves around the NHL most recently. We can look at the conference leaders real quick before we get into our metro area teams. In the East, there's a tie at the top of the metro, 40 points apiece between the Carolina Hurricanes and Emma's Washington Capitals.
And who's right there?
Right.
In third place.
Right there is the New York Islanders.
Or second, I guess. Yeah.
Very interesting there because, this was a team that was picked to be a bottom three team in the entire league.
Yeah.
And now they're a top three team in their division.
Isn't it great?
So I was here for it. Yeah, I was here for it in the preseason. I was like, this Islanders team is just not as bad as everybody thinks they are.
I mean, I'm not
going to
lie. I thought they were going to be bad.
But it's the eye test for me. Watching them play a game at the start of the year, I was like, wait, this team just does not have the energy of a team that thinks they're going to be rebuilding all year.
Yeah.
It's a team that thinks they can win games.
Exactly. Yeah. And they've looked like it, too. I mean, Schaefer obviously was a big part of that. And then Bo Horvat, my pride and joy, who's now injured, of course, but he was a big part of that. He's having a great year. They have a lot of guys having really great years, and then Ilya Sorokin kind of figured it out. He started off and now he's figured it out. So,
yeah, but there's there's 8 points separating first place and eighth place in both the Metro and the Atlantic in the East. There's 10 points between the leading teams in the conference. Between them and the last team in the conference, the Buffalo Sabres have 30 points. The teams with the most have 40. Mm. This is I described it when I was writing my notes earlier. I described it as a phone booth of an Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
This is the closest I have ever seen, especially now a couple months into the season, things have started to kind of shake out a little bit. Who are the best teams? Who are the worst teams? But the East still has no idea.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have no idea where we're going to be in 2 months.
Well, and it's so interesting because then you look at the Western and it's
teams have started to pull away.
Yeah.
It's 10 point, it's a m- bigger, it's a it's a larger than 10 point difference between the first ranked and the third. Like,
yeah, so that's more than the entire Eastern Conference. Yeah. Insane. But anyway, Carolina and Washington at the top of the East with the Islanders right on their heels, or on the top of the Metro, rather. In the Atlantic, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Boston Bruins, surprisingly enough, tied at 38 points apiece with the Detroit Red Wings nipping at their heels at 37 points. The Atlantic is just a mess.
Yeah. Nice.
Because you go with the Canadiens after the Red Wings, and then you got the Maple Leafs 2 points behind them, who have just been having a super underwhelming season.
Yeah.
But either way, you look at the West, Colorado has been pulling away as the far and away best-looking team in the entire league. Mm-hmm. They now have 51 points, which, I mean, we've been saying the numbers this whole time, but just to for reference, that's 11 more points than anybody in the East.
That's yep. ridiculous.
It's insane.
They lead the Central, followed by the Dallas Stars with 47 points, which is also well clear of the entire East. And then in the Pacific, there's a tie at the top, 39 points apiece for the Golden Knights and the the hated Anaheim Ducks, come to
Very
find out,
hated.
From Emily Inardi. But, you know, those are the leaders in each conference. I mean, the West, you see those two teams pulling away. But in the East, it's really interesting with the Capitals where they are. They won the East, largely the best record in the East last season, and now they're kind of battling for that top spot again. So before we move on to our metro area teams, Emma, I want to give you a chance to give us, if you can, a state. You've already kind of done it, but just like a state of the Washington Capitals. They're at the top of the metro, and honestly, they're not a metro team, so they weren't a team that I prepared for in our segments later on. Yeah. But I just wanted to get quick thoughts from you on where the Caps are at now without Ryan Leonard, but getting ready to get Lindgren back. What are the next 4 weeks or so look like for Washington?
It's going to be really interesting because the past few weeks have been really good for them. And then, they were on a 6-game win streak, and then the Ducks broke it in a shootout. Mm. It was the same game with the Leonard hit. It's just, I want to forget that.
It's an evil game overall.
It really was an evil game. You know what's funny? Is that game was, I'm pretty sure, it was well after I came back from Thanksgiving, but not that soon after, and I'm pretty sure it's just because I came back to Fordham, and that's really offensive to me.
So you're threatening to drop out, basically?
Maybe, but no, I'm just kidding. Then they got it back with the Blue Jackets, and then they lost again in a shootout to the Canes. It seems like if you look at it, the past, hold on, one, two,
they have three losses in their last 13 games, and two of them are in a shootout. So points in 12 of their last 13 games.
So it's really it's hard to say that, it's hard to be upset about that, because I was upset when I saw that they lost to the Canes after I got out of beat reporting for the Islanders last night, and I saw that and I was like, well, that's great. That's awesome. And obviously the Ducks, we understand how I feel about that. But I think that because the majority of the losses recently have been shootouts, it's they were right there. It was just kind of luck on their side, I think, and those few minutes of doing those shootouts that really, And you look at the Canes game from last night and the shots, Carolina had 39 shots and Washington had 25. And, that is a pretty significant difference for ending regulation in a tie, I think.
Yeah. That's Carolina's MO. They're just the Panthers. They just throw the puck at the net.
Yeah. But it's, it shows that, they are good because, they're not, they're getting more limited shots than their opponents, but they're still able to match the energy. The shots, they have less shots, but more in comparison are going in. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
How I'm explaining that? Okay,
yeah.
Great.
It's going to be a pretty tough schedule running up to Christmas for Washington. They have a road trip starting this weekend. They're in Winnipeg tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Then they go to Minnesota next Tuesday, come back home. They got the Leafs, and then a home and away with
Detroit,
the Red Wings,
weekend.
Which
yeah.
should be very interesting.
I'm so interested to see that.
That's pretty big just in terms of Eastern Conference and the fact that Detroit is not a pushover they have
They're
been. They are tough, and playing them back-to-back is not going to be easy either. Especially, it's a home and away on back-to-back days, both
against
in the afternoon.
And against the same team.
Yeah, 12:30 in Washington, 12:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 20th, and then 1 p.m. on Sunday, December 21st.
The start times being separated by just over 24 hours is insane.
And there's a flight in between.
Yeah, so. Literally. And a game in between.
Yeah.
Like, that's just the start of the game.
Game and then a flight. Yeah exactly.
And then there's the Rangers, which I'm going to be at that game.
Yeah, Rangers 2 days before Christmas, Devils 2 days after.
Yes. And then and then Florida. And then another Rangers game on New Year's Eve, which I will also be at. So that's going to be interesting. I'll have a lot to talk about Caps versus Rangers when I get back.
Mm.
Then Ottawa and then the Blackhawks. I might also go to the Blackhawks game, so that'll also be interesting. But I think
the way the Caps are playing right now, though, that should be mostly wins through the end of December.
I think they can do it. So I'm like,
maybe a lot. Like, you chuck one of those Red Wings games up as a loss, probably. And I imagine it's the one going to Detroit.
Yeah.
Because, like, both teams are going to be tired, but Detroit has the benefit of playing in their own barn the second time around.
Exactly.
But the Caps can beat Toronto.
Yeah.
The road trip is going to be really interesting because the first two games without Ryan Leonard, and you're getting Winnipeg and Minnesota, which are not easy games whatsoever.
No. It's going to be hard.
So, the next two games for the Caps are going to be very very telling for, I think, how the rest of the Ryan Leonard absence goes.
Yeah.
But overall, I think the Caps are in a really good spot.
I think there's hope. There's reason to have hope, and that's what I'm going to stick to.
The hope lies in Logan Thompson being the second leading goalie in the NHL in goals allowed average with 1.96
king.
And third in save percentage, 0.926.
My king.
Absolutely
been,
insane.
I think Grace is annoyed at me because I've been posting so much about Logan Thompson on my
No, actually, I'm more tired of your Alex Ovechkin posts.
I knew you were going to say that.
That was crazy. Is that real? Because you posted that, like, the hockey reference map.
Oh,
of, like, every state, what's the most viewed page on Hockey Reference, and it's, there's, like, maybe four states that are not really big hockey states that all have Wayne Gretzky listed as the most, and then every other state is Alex Ovechkin.
Yep. Well, okay, you have to think about this, because this is the stats for 2025 of the player pages that were visited.
Yeah.
Alex Ovechkin just broke the record.
So, yeah, everybody's
that's not
like,
surprising.
Oh, let me go look at the record.
Yeah, that's not surprising. So, like, I'm chalking it up to that, and also because, you know, he's the grade eight, guys.
Mm.
He's the grade eight.
All right.
I can see Grace being fed up
I'm
with
so
me, so I'm going to stop
talking.
I'm
ready for, him to go.
All right.
Tired of this. Already saw him score on Ilya. It's fine.
Oh, my God. We have a big, side note. We did a Secret Santa.
Oh, okay.
And
I promise this is relevant.
This is relevant.
It is.
We did a Secret Santa, and the girl who got me is also a Caps fan.
Mm-hmm.
And she got me, this is so funny, because I slid into her DMs because she went to the game where they celebrated his 900th goal and also like a certain amount of games that he's played. I can't remember the number. She went to that game, and in every seat they had a big Alexander Ovechkin head from different points in his career.
Like a fat head.
And
that's hilarious.
And I slid up in her DMs and I said, can I get
one
of those?
Give me that.
And she said, I don't have any more. Lo and behold, my Secret Santa gift was a big Alex Ovechkin head. And
nice.
It was beautiful. And she also gave me a puppy Capitals calendar.
So now that resides
awesome.
In her home.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's going to be hung up in our new apartment, by the way.
Yeah.
So that's going
to
be fun.
I'm going to get a matching Matt Barzal one to even things out.
Some high-tier gift-giving right there.
Oh,
everybody
yeah,
listening,
beautiful.
Take notes. But yeah, that should do it for our general news around hockey and the NHL. Originally, I wanted to save the Trouba thing for the end of that segment so that I could easily segue into the Rangers first, because Trouba used to be a Ranger, but either way,
okay.
I want to talk about the New York Rangers first, because I'm a Devils beat reporter, Grace is an Islanders beat reporter, so we'll have check-ins on both of them,
mm-hmm.
But really quick, as a consensus, I want to try and get to where the Blue Shirts are at. They're 5-2-2. In their last 9 games, an overtime loss versus Colorado in that
which
span.
Which I think you take.
That absolutely,
oh,
you take that all day. Oh, like a point against the Avs right now?
Not
yes.
Everyone can get 2 points
all
against the
Avs. Not everybody can get any points against the Avs.
Yeah.
There's also an overtime loss against the Golden Knights, or another leading team in the Western Conference, so that's 2 games. Not very easy to get a point, especially with how the Rangers play in the Garden this year.
Right.
Getting points in both of those games, huge, but they're wins. Even more impressive, I would argue, a win at Carolina. I'm probably just overly impressed by that because the Devils can't beat the Hurricanes in Carolina. But I'd still, winning a game in Carolina is hard, so the Rangers did that. They also won at Boston, another top team in the Eastern Conference this year. They beat Dallas in the Garden in overtime, and they won at Ottawa, who have been struggling without Brady Tkachuk. They're like bottom of the Atlantic, but they definitely are not that in terms of like talent. When you line up against the Senators, it's a tough game every time. So, I mean, the Rangers have gotten points in seven of their last nine games. They've won five of those. Jonathan Quick was reactivated from the IR as of last Saturday, December 6th. So I think these Rangers are actually in a much better spot than we had them at the start of the season. I mean, it was bad.
Well, I mean, that's a low bar,
It's hard to be in a worse spot, but I think like you should be impressed by where the Rangers are at now compared to where they were at the start of the season. But I think a lot of that a lot of that can be credited to Jim Montgomery and just the way that he is as a head coach. He just kind of he brought that team through a really rough patch to start the season and has kind of gotten the gears turning a little bit more. They did get shut out on the road against the Blackhawks last night in a color versus color game, which
that
I thought
was
really cool. The Centennial blue versus the Blackhawks red. Very nice. It popped off the screen. But the Rangers didn't score.
Apparently, they haven't won yet when they're wearing those jerseys. I just learned that today.
Okay, well, I mean,
is that like fact? Like
the Rangers have been doing a lot of that this year. They didn't score a goal at home for like a week and a half. And now they haven't won a game in the Centennial jerseys yet. I don't know. It's like
they got a lot of weird things.
They have a lot of
stuff they have to shake off.
They gotta get some sage.
Someone needs to get an Etsy witch.
Yeah.
It didn't save the Devils. It didn't save the Devils. The Devils are paying the price for that Etsy witch saga because they called up an Etsy witch to try and keep the home win streak, or the home non-regulation loss streak, I guess is what it became eventually, because they lost a game in overtime at home. But now, the Devils are in an awful spot. But either way, Adam Fox, he's tied for second among defensemen in the league in assists with 23, so Foxy's doing just as well as he normally does. The Rangers have Montreal tomorrow at home at 7 p.m. It shouldn't be that difficult of a game. It should be a home win for the Rangers, which are few and far between to start this season. But I don't know what you guys think, but I think the Rangers are, can we say they're back? I feel like they're
not yet.
Eh.
We gotta like
they
them,
just lo- yeah
they're
kind
of back
bad game against
they've
Chicago,
lost they've
though.
Lost three games in a row, but keep in mind that like it was an overtime loss against Colorado, overtime loss against Vegas, so 2 points at home against very difficult teams that came into the Garden. But then a 3-0 loss to the Blackhawks.
They're too up and down. For
you gotta
me to
let
say
it.
They're back.
You gotta let it set. Like, you gotta let it settle and see if it like.
You
levels
know, looking at the whole schedule, there's too many like blocks of losing. If that makes any sense, because they had the 3-game losing streak in October, another one in October, from the 20th to the 26th, then a 4-game losing streak at the end of November. And now another 3-game losing streak here in December. So if they keep going on random losing streaks in like the middle of every month, it's not going to work out very well. They got to break up those losses a little bit. And I mean, the way that they would have broken up this little 3-game stretch now was probably with a win either against Colorado or against Vegas at home. Chicago on the road. Chicago's been a very odd team this year,
I would say,
because Bedard is very good, but. Yeah. It's kind of just Bedard.
Yeah.
But he's starting to get to the point where he can fully put the team on his shoulders and they win games just because he exists.
Yeah.
Which is kind of what he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
From the get-go. Yeah. And people were like, oh, Connor Bedard is a bust because the Blackhawks don't win. Like, they don't win as much as they're supposed to. Like, now they are.
Yeah.
So, like, be careful what you wish for because Connor Bedard could be a problem.
And also be careful of what you say because, like, karma's a thing.
Yeah.
Jinxing thing is a thing. Mm-hmm. I believe in jinxes. So that's also why I was 100%. Like, we can't say too much on the Rangers yet.
Definitely in hockey. In hockey. There's so much superstition in this sport. So I think that definitely plays into it as well. But the Rangers have Montreal on Saturday, Anaheim at home on Monday, Vancouver at home on Tuesday before they go on a quick little road trip to St. Louis, then come back and play the Flyers. Then a big road trip. Oh my gosh, around Christmas, they have a 5-game road trip. Two of those games are at Washington. So, very odd.
That I'll be at both.
For a team that's been road dogs this year, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
It's probably like going on a 5-game stretch like that where you're away from home and you don't have like all the pressure of the Garden.
There's
to, like,
also
win games.
there's some games in here that I'm like they're going to win a few of these. The Predators,
St. Louis, Nashville is in the absolute basement. They're already looking to move players off their team.
Yeah.
Like Stamkos, maybe the shortest stop and go in Nashville ever.
Brutal.
He's already on the trading block. Come to the Devils.
Whoa.
Ryan O'Reilly says he sucks. That's what Ryan O'Reilly said. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm playing really bad this year and I don't know why. It's like, dude, you're pretty much fine. Like, you are a little bit more mid this year than usual, but like, take it easy. Either way, yeah, there's a couple of games in there the Rangers should be winning. They should beat Montreal. They should beat St. Louis. They should beat Philadelphia.
That's what I
should beat Nashville. They could probably lose to Vancouver at home. I wouldn't be surprised there. When's Thatcher Demko coming back? I'm pretty sure it's soon. Because I'm pretty sure I'm fairly certain I just activated him off my IR in fantasy, so I think he's on his way back. But yeah, like I think we've kind of gotten to where the Rangers are at. Like they're pretty solid, need to see more consistency, but for right now, they're getting the points that they need to set themselves up for a late stretch run.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I don't think they're like, you know, if you ask some Rangers fans, like they would tell you like, oh my God, it's another nightmare, and it's like, no.
But like
they're
for me,
fine.
They still have Shesterkin.
Yeah.
And Jonathan
and
Quick
Adam
is still
Fox.
A very serviceable
like,
backup.
Like
Adam Fox is playing great.
Yeah.
I feel like
if JT Miller can get hot, I have given up personally on Mika Zibanejad.
I
don't know how many other
has.
People have given up on him. Oh my God. Did you see the first Blackhawks goal last night? Zibanejad looked like a traffic cone.
Yeah.
He turned it over at the blue line, then like flopped on the ice trying to get the puck back before the Blackhawks finally got control and then started moving it up ice. They had a player all the way up near the blue line on the opposite end. Unchecked by a Ranger. Zibanejad probably should. He was already in like a defenseman's spot when he coughed up the puck in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he was like on his knees trying to like whack the puck around in neutral ice, he just stands up and then is a statue in like the middle of the neutral zone. And that stretch pass goes right by him. And then, oh my God.
Not what you want.
He looked like he had just spent the last week in a wheelchair trying to like skate down into the defensive zone. He got beat out by a defenseman skating past him for the Rangers, and then the Blackhawks went and scored the first one. It was bad. It looked so checked out. And what's even worse is that this is better than what he was doing last year. And he's still checked out.
Yeah.
So Zibanejad, definitely a problem, but I think the Rangers can still overcome his existence by just being good everywhere else. Still banking on Shesterkin being an excellent goaltender.
Yeah. That's a funny thing about the Wednesday night game. It was Wednesday night, right?
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is that you have the Blackhawks, you know, doing really well because of the existence of Bedard, and then you have the Rangers trying to not acknowledge the existence of Zibanejad. like it's two opposites. It's really funny. Anyway.
Yeah. The fact that the Rangers' response to Zibanejad having, like, a mental crisis last year and kind of accidentally causing a rift in the locker room was to just ignore him.
Like,
effectively
and
ignore
like
him.
And, like, now his best friend's gone.
Exactly. Yeah. So we'll get rid of...
So I almost feel bad.
We'll get rid of the players that he has a problem with. We'll also get rid of the players that he's friends with, and then we're going to ignore that he exists.
Right. It's just,
and act like it's okay.
It's kind of a bummer. Like, it's
that's
kind
at
of
least
really
what it, that's what it looks like from the outside. I'm sure it's different, but, like...
Right.
It's the Rangers. Sad. I'm gonna hate on it from the outside.
Because
I'm a Devils
point,
fan.
At some
of the
point
day.
With Mika, it's like you are a hockey player and you do kind of have to like grit your teeth sometimes and just be better. But it's also like it's hard. You know, it's tough.
It's hard when you're a power play merchant.
Exactly. It's a tough life. It's a tough life.
Either way, yeah, the Rangers are in action again tomorrow. Actually, all three of our Metro teams are in action tomorrow night. But the Rangers, the first of those, they're at 7 p.m. Against the Montreal Canadiens tomorrow. Moving on to the New York Islanders. The big news out of the island is that Bo Horvat is day-to-day. He suffered a lower body injury during the game last night against Anaheim and reportedly missed practice today.
Yeah.
I imagine he did. He's out.
Yeah.
They're initially saying 1 to 3 weeks that he's out.
Yes.
But
yeah,
like I don't want to put it out into the world too much. But I've seen like I looked at Twitter a bit. I looked at the injury. A little bit, because you sent us that link earlier.
Yeah.
And I saw a couple people saying that it looked like previous ACL injuries in Islanders history. I'm not as well versed with Islanders history in terms of their injuries. It looked like a pretty nasty one where, like, Bo Horvat was kind of, he got caught with his, like, basically in the splits, and his right leg got caught on a defender who was skating away from him, and so it just pulled his legs further apart from each other until the right leg finally, like, disconnected from the defensive player and kind of just left him, like, sprawled out a little bit. So it could be bad, but I feel like 1-3 means it's more of, like, a pull. Maybe, like, pull a hammy or something and just, like, overextend it.
I mean, we saw, like, when Palmieri tore his ACL, like, last week, like that you knew. I feel like you gotta know when it's an ACL. Like, they're in agony, and they, you know, they can't really move on their own. But it's not great. You hope it's more like 1 week than 3 weeks. But you know,
yeah.
I mean, if Andrews Lee can have games like he did last night, then maybe they can keep winning games.
But I feel like Horvat is so, and Grace, you probably are like can speak more on this. But I feel like Horvat is so beloved, and like I know this statistically as well, because as we were talking about at the beginning of the pod, my tweets last night, most of them got what you said, like, you know, between 200 and 300, but the one tweet, no video, no picture, number 14, Bo Horvat makes his way gingerly past the Isles bench and down the tunnel following a scuffle with Hellison on the Ducks, doesn't look promising. 1.5k
without media is wild.
Like, it just shows, I think, the extent that people care about him so much, because they must have been, like, looking him up.
1,500 Isles fans typed in Bo Horvat in their Twitter feed
because
to find out what,
like,
happened.
Also, like, from a media standpoint, we also didn't know what was going on. Like, last night in the press conference, the coach didn't even know what was going on. He was like, day to day, I think, but like, I can't really tell you anything for certain. And I was like, okay, like,
it's better than the Lightning.
fair enough. Like, but yeah, so I feel like they can get by without him. Like, they got by the second part of that second period, and then the third period they got by without him and they were able to win it. But I think it's going to be more like, not emotional, but like, it's more like a psychological absence. I think,
but now they're out Horvat, they're out Palmieri, obviously, who we've already mentioned. These injuries come at a bad time. I mean, Palmieri's already been out, but this Bo Horvat injury comes at a really bad time. Yeah. The Islanders have won 5 of their last 6 games dating back to December 2nd. They've got wins versus and at the Tampa Bay Lightning, which I find very interesting, just because of how badly the Lightning pummeled the Devils last night and how they're probably going to treat the New York Rangers. This Lightning team is very, very good, but the Islanders managed 2 wins against them, and it wasn't like 2 at home or something. Yeah. It was the home and away. They also have a home win versus the Avalanche.
Best
were just talking about
year.
How much that 1 point at home against the Avalanche for the Rangers was awesome. 2 points against the Avalanche for the Islanders at home is insane. Oh. They also got a full win against the Golden Knights, so it's literally just the Islanders doing slightly better. Better things than the Rangers doing, than the Rangers are doing against the same teams.
Yeah.
Versus Anaheim, the most recent win for the Islanders, that their one loss in that stretch was at the Florida Panthers, which is totally acceptable.
And they were due for a stinker like that.
Exactly.
Like, that was not the best hockey game I've ever seen. Like, they were due for one of those. They come and they go and it's fine.
So
like,
with all that in mind, and now like Bo Horvat's injury, we know this kind of a streak that the Islanders are on right now. Grace, can you give us the state of the New York Islanders?
I feel good. I frankly did not expect them to be in third at this point. I thought it would be more like the bottom.
You're definitely not alone in that.
I was talking actually to Kurt about when Sophia and I did our like preseason video. We were being so like, keep expectations so low. Like, we were being so negative because I was like, they're literally going to put the entire season on Matthew Schaefer's back. And I was like, that's a lot for an 18-year-old kid.
Yeah.
And obviously he's been really, really good. And it hasn't just been him that's been really, Bo Horvat, Anders Lee has been pretty good. Matt Barzal has been pretty good. Ilya Sorokin's been a lot better.
the Martin family's been feeding Schaefer his Wheaties.
Exactly.
Clearly.
Exactly. Sydney Martin, yeah. Matt Martin's wife's taking good care of her, you know, fifth child or whatever it is now.
Random
she's
fifth, but also oldest child.
Yes. Babysitter of the little Martin girls, but also adopted son. It makes a lot of sense.
The whole stocking thing was really fun.
It was so cute. he's like adorable with them. But anyway, so I'm feeling good. Getting these wins against these kind of teams, some of these games are the kind of games that, like, last year they would just, like, have nothing. And this year, you know, they lose at Florida. I'm like, all right, that game, not great. But
when you have a win against Colorado, like, you can't even
right,
complain.
Like, two wins against the Lightning in, like, the span of a week and a half, yeah. And then they have another game against them tomorrow, which is kind of funny. But these are the kind of games that last year they would have just been flat. They're not flat now. They're moving the puck really well. You know, they have their games where they get, like, honestly, and it's mostly the games I cover. I think I'm the problem sometimes. Sophia gets all these fabulous shootout wins, and I'm like, oh, my God. But they look a lot better. The power play starting out, leaving a little bit to be desired, but I think they've been quite a bit better in recent games with the power play. So I'm feeling good. Looking at this schedule coming up, Lightning tomorrow could be a little bit tough. Red Wings in Detroit on Tuesday. Red Wings are kind of difficult. Although I believe they put up 7 goals on them earlier this year. So hopefully we get one of those. And then the Canucks at home next Friday. That I think should be a win. I don't know for sure. But and then the Sabres, like the Devils, the Rangers, like those the Devils and Rangers games are two toss-ups to me. But and then you have like Columbus, Chicago. Like, all right. So a lot of this should be majority wins, I think.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good.
All right. So next game for the Islanders gonna be also tomorrow, Saturday, December 13th, 3:30 PM versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. That should be an interesting one. Matt mm-hmm. Schaefer is the third leading rookie in the NHL with 22 points. Also the third in both goals and assists, so very consistent across there. He's also the fourth best defenseman. That's across all defensemen in terms of goals with 8. Yeah. So very like I think banking the season on him was turned out to be
it
a very
turned out all right.
Turned out pretty good.
Yeah,
it was a gamble, but you know.
Really quickly, I want to get to the Devils now because we don't have a lot of time left, but I do just want to check in on them. Do you guys have any points on the Devils, or am I just going to riff on this one?
You can riff on this one.
Okay, so the Devils. The New Jersey Devils managed a 4-3 record in the immediate aftermath of Jack Hughes' injury. They even managed to defend home ice, which has sort of been an issue, especially when they lose a guy like Jack Hughes, but the wheels are now completely off the bus. They've lost 6 of 7 since November 29th, and it's just basically all of the allure and like any of the aura that Jack Hughes had left on the team when he did get injured has fully worn off by now.
Yeah,
they got pumped 8-4 last night at home by the Tampa Bay Lightning. Ryan Deptula was on the coverage for us for WFUV. It was his first time there, so kind of a unfortunate result for his first experience covering the Devils. Markstrom was chased from the game after he gave up 3 goals on 7 shots. Not great from your A1 goaltender, but you know Jake Allen came in and did the best that he could to try and keep the Lightning off the board, but they just kept scoring. Every time the Devils put one through, it was just another goal for the Lightning, like a couple of minutes later. Mm. It was the first game without Timo Meier, who's going to be out for the next 2 games at least, dealing with a family matter. Jesper Bratt scored his first goal since November 6th last night, which is the reason why I'm wearing a Jesper Bratt jersey for today's show, to try and channel some of the energy. First Devils goal for Angus Cruikshank, third of his career, and the NHL debut for Xavier Parent. So the Devils are down very bad right now in terms of injury. The Metro is so close that the Devils have now tumbled all the way to 6th in the Metro after this losing run. They're now tied with the Penguins and just a point clear of the Rangers. And it's been the injury bug. It's been hanging with the Devils all season so far this year. It just didn't really show until just now. But for me, it's a waiting game because Timo Meier's out with a personal thing that he's dealing with. Dodonov re-injured his wrist, and he's now back on the injured reserve. Jack Hughes is out with the finger from the Chicago team dinner thing, whatever. He's back in January. Brett Pesce, upper body. He was moved from the IR to the long-term injured reserve last Saturday. So Pesce going to be out even longer expected to return by December 21st. But honestly, who knows with him, because that rehab has been going all different directions. Jonathan Kovacevic is also out. He's also on the long-term IR. He's not coming back until after New Year's. January 3rd is the listed return date for him as well. So multiple defensemen out, multiple forwards out. They're as deep as an NHL debut for Xavier Parent, and now they're down Arseny Gritsyuk as well. So really bad situation in terms of the injuries, but Devils fans, do not panic. Do not panic yet. It is not time to hit the panic button. The best way to describe this Devils fan base is bipolar, in my opinion, because they go from, oh my gosh, we're winning the Stanley Cup this year, to they lose three games in a row and suddenly it's over. And so, for me, this was also the worst fan base ever to have as hot of a start as they did, especially at home, because the Devils felt invincible at the Prudential Center, and the fans felt that invincibility too. But then when they started losing and started losing in bunches, it became, well, now Tom Fitzgerald is on the hot seat because he hasn't made a trade the second after they started losing.
Right.
I can't stand being a part of, like, being associated with that part of the fan base that gets so up and down all the time about literally anything that happens. Like, yes, this could also be a bit of PTSD from the seasons in the past where the Devils have just gotten really, really bad by the end of December or January and basically thrown the entire season away.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait. It is a waiting game. Do not panic yet, because these injured players will come back. And it's not like we're missing all of January. They're getting players back at the start of January at the latest. Mm-hmm. Ideally, it comes January 15th. If we get to middle of January, theoretically, all of the Devils' injuries and players who are absent will be back with the team. And with that full defense and the full offense, plus there's trade rumors flying around right now, but Steven Stamkos and Quinn Hughes, things could get interesting if a move like that gets made, although a player as talented as Simo Nemitz probably is going to have to go if they want to get Quinn Hughes, and he's been having a great year.
Yeah.
He had the hat trick game earlier on in the season. I think it was against the Blackhawks, the game right before Hughes hurt his hand. But either way, the Devils are playing the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow afternoon, December 13th at 12:30 p.m., It's a pretty big one, a home game. It's likely going to be Markstrom back in net again after he got chased from the net and Allen had to do most of the job last night in his stead. So probably going to be Markstrom. Devil's going to be without Gritsyuk, without Meyer, without Jack Hughes, without all the guys I listed earlier. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty deep in the bag in terms of actual depth within the team, but they're still playing. Their structure is still good. Sheldon Keefe is still an excellent head coach and still designs a very good offense. Devils have a top 10 power play and penalty kill. I think still top 10 for both. It may have fallen off in the past week or so, but special teams has been there just like last year. Offense has looked good at times. It's just been sluggish and kind of struggled to score goals occasionally. But the defense, honestly, the guys who step up on defense for the Devils have been pretty much saving the season so far. There are so many games the Devils probably should have lost because of how hurt their defenses, but it's just not happening. And it's because of guys like Brendan Dillon, who have just been absolutely holding it down, and is Brendan Dillon is a rock on defense and in the locker room too. They love him. But yeah, that's the state of the Devils. For Devils fans out there, just wait on it. Wait until January. They can survive December and just get to January and have the stretch run. Yes, there will be an Olympic break. That might give some guys some time to heal up too, if they're not already. It is not panic mode yet for the Devils. And the Metro is so close. Being in sixth means basically nothing. That mm-hmm. could completely flip the other direction. They go on one big winning streak during the course of a week. Maybe you win three, four games in a row, and you're already back at the top. So, yeah, that's just about going to wrap us up here today on 5-on-3. Very dense episode. We got through a lot. I'm surprised I got through everything I wanted to talk about for the Devils. But either way, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you guys so much for participating. It's been a great episode. Thanks to Kurt Sippel on production behind the glass. Thanks to Emily Leonardi. Thanks, Grace McCarron. I have been Tucker Austin, and 5-on-3 is a production of WFUV Sports. We'll catch you guys next week.